good morning and welcome to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. It's a weekly program about health, nutrition, fitness, and all things lifestyle. I'm Lynn Ware-Peak.
And I'm Tim Henney. Our first guest today is Dr. Norman Rosenthal, New York Times bestselling author of Transcendence, here to talk with us today about his new book Super Mind.
Sounds interesting. I'd like a super mind.
Wouldn't we all?
We would. Then it's Bob Radke of Basin Recreation, along with Charlie Sturgis, the executive director of the Mountain Trails Foundation. These guys are the gurus of our beloved local trail system, and they're joining us to talk about Mountain Madness, which is happening this evening, about directional trails, and what's likely to wow us this season.
See how we slipped that wow in there?
Yes.
And you know why, right?
I know why. That is going to be the best trail and trail
going
system.
Going to be?
Well, you know, it's the getting there. It's
the wow trail. I wrote it numerous times at the end of last season because it kind of got rolling around midseason, I think. That thing is off the hook. It's one of the most fabulous trails I've ever been on. It is stunningly beautiful, a flow trail, real easy to ride, and tons of fun.
And it wowed you.
It wowed me.
This is The Mountain Life. Stay with us. We'll be back after these words.
Hi, this is Whitney Wall from Park City Mountain and proud supporter of KPCW. This summer, Park City Mountain offers a variety of events for the whole family, including the annual July 4th celebration and fireworks, summer concert series, and weekly Wednesday Farmers Market. The full calendar of Park City Mountain events is available at parkcitymountain.com.
Miller Orthodontics supports KPCW and their involvement with area youth and teens. Speaking of youth, did you know Invisalign has a specific type of aligner just for teens? Over three-fourths of our Invisalign patients are 19 or younger. More information about Invisalign Teen is available at m2ortho.com.
This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware-Peak, here with Tim Henney. When Norm Rosenthal wrote the bestseller Transcendence, he thought he had written all there was to write about transcendental meditation, but of course, he was wrong, which he realized as his own meditation practice deepened, and to his surprise and delight, he found his consciousness began to grow. The blissful transcendent experience that normally begins during one's meditation practice actually starts to filter into one's daily life. And all kinds of good things follow. Dr. Norman Rosenthal joins us to explore that bliss and the good things that have followed for him. Dr. Rosenthal, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Wonderful to be here. Thanks.
Great to have you. Well, you know, it's so interesting when you see a new book on transcendental meditation. I think it takes us back to, you probably can tell me better, the 70s, the early 80s, when we thought of transcendental meditation of a trend at that time. So maybe give us a little definition of what it is.
Well, you know, I certainly thought of it as a trend. Actually, I did it in medical school back in South Africa, and I didn't take it very seriously, which in retrospect was a big mistake, but it was fun. The Beatles had just gone to visit Maharishi, who was the modern proponent of the technique in India at the time, and then he brought the technique to the West, and it began to get picked up by all kinds of people, including scientists who were able to show that it had a rather large number of physical effects that could benefit people. And it just steadily grew and grew. And so it was that in about 8-9 years ago, I was sitting in my office with a young man who told me that, yeah, doc, you know, your medicines are helping me, but what's really making me happy is this technique. And to cut a long story short, he nagged me to refresh my technique, start it up again, and I realized he was right. So what I thought was a fad has actually turned out to be a life-transforming activity and something that I have taken up as part of my career because it seems so interesting. I wanted to tell people about it.
So those who have achieved some sort of guru status, who at times have perhaps use that for their own gain. I think that was something that was pervasive throughout the time that transcendental meditation was a trend or a fad. But I just want to point out, you know, we're speaking with you, Dr. Norman Rosenthal, a clinical professor of psychiatry at Georgetown Medical School. So you have all kinds of credibility and science behind you and a lot of research and academia. And so do you feel like there are these two worlds of, you know, the kind of practice that you do and transcendental meditation?
Well, you know, I think that there is the medical canon, things that have been very thoroughly tested by the establishment, brought into the canon, and they come under what's called standard of care because they have been generally agreed upon to be useful for this or that condition. But I think that there are always new things that come in from the outside, come in as a result of novel ideas and experimental treatments. And I certainly had that when I first came to the United States and I was involved in describing winter depression, also known as seasonal affective disorder, which had not previously been recognized, and worked with my colleagues to develop light therapy for its treatment. And I only bring it up here because it's an example of a new kind of treatment that is now the subject of board exam questions that young people have to answer. So it's kind of been pulled into the canon. So I think I've often been interested in things that make a lot of sense, that are just outside the mainstream, and work to try and bring them into the mainstream so that my patients will have the opportunity, and through my writings, other people's patients, to explore really side effect free techniques that can enhance what's already happening between them and their doctors.
Dr. Rosenthal, I think I heard you say in your opening statement that when transcendental meditation began in its early stages, the scientific community quickly recognized physical benefits.
Right.
And I'm wondering, was there a little bit of a rift between the scientific community and the medical community? Was the scientific community able to recognize things that the medical community resisted for a period of time?
You know, I don't think it's fair to talk about the scientific community and the medical community in one voice. Scientists are famous for disagreeing with one another, and doctors are close behind. So I think it is fair to say that when it comes to transcendental meditation, the medical community as a whole has not been educated about it. They don't really know about it, so I don't know that they take any strong position. Meditation in general, and TM in particular, is becoming more and more widely accepted, because I think what we recognize is that stress is this ubiquitous, toxic element in our modern lives. And I know one way to, release it is through exercise, maybe bike along a fantastic mountain trail that I was hearing about just before I came on the show, and that certainly is a wonderful outlet. But another one is to dive within and access the deep wells of inner silence that exist within and can be accessed just by sitting down and closing your eyes and using your mantra as you have been taught to do, and you are taken deep, deep inside to a peaceful place. And when you do this regularly, it lowers blood pressure, it reduces the chance of heart attack and stroke, which are among the biggest killers in developed countries. It has actually got a profound effect.
So I'm curious about, over the last 45 years, when this has gone from, you know, fad and initial introduction to people like yourself who have a great deal of credibility, and you've committed a large part of your career to transcendental meditation and spreading the word and educating. And what is it that legitimized transcendental meditation for you? Was there an epiphany or an aha moment or a practice where, you know, your life took a different path and you said, this is for real, this is legitimate?
Well, the first thing that really did it for me was my patient, because he's a really brilliant young man, and his mood disorder had been thoroughly stabilized. And I saw that he said, this is making a huge difference. And he was doing it twice a day. You know, you don't do something twice a day unless it's really helping you. And then his earnestness in trying to persuade me really impressed me. You know, if a young man is so keen for his doctor to learn something, well, my obligation then is to listen and follow. I've always found that I have gained the most when I have listened to interesting things regardless of their source. So that's what I did. And I can't say that, unlike my friend David Lynch, who sponsors the David Lynch Foundation, which has been a major driving force in expanding TM, unlike David Lynch, who said that in his very first TM session, he fell into a pool of bliss. He compared it to having an elevator cable cut so that you're just free-falling into this blissful state. And
I want to fall into a pool of bliss.
Yeah, you and me both, but it actually didn't happen. It was slower. It took a couple of weeks, a month, and then I began to feel it. And I started realizing I didn't sweat the small stuff. I didn't overreact to little things as a lot of us tend to do when we're stressed. And I began to recommend it to my patients. I began to research it. When I used it on people who were just back from Afghanistan and Iraq with terrible PTSD, stories that I could, gets the hair on your neck to stand up and we don't have time for. When I saw them turn around their lives and feel so much better, you know, when, you know, nothing else seems to help in many instances, stop drinking, I was really impressed. And so it is that I began to look into what is literally hundreds of peer-reviewed journal articles on the subject that I first wrote Transcendence and more recently Supermind.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Dr. Norman Rosenthal. He's a clinical professor of psychiatry at Georgetown Medical School and the author of a new book called Supermind, How to Boost Performance and Live a Richer and Happier Life Through Transcendental Meditation. Okay, so Dr. Rosenthal, I know that there are people listening, like myself, who are saying, I have a hard enough time just meditating or even practicing mindfulness, let alone transcending into a pool of bliss. So, do you have to be an advanced meditator to be able to go into the world of transcendental meditation?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that, because that is one of the really extraordinary things. It is such an easy thing to do. Now, you know, you might say, well, if it's easy, why do you need a teacher? Why can't I just say, do A, B, and C and go and do it? Well, it's like anything else. It takes a little training and a little time, almost like sliding down a gentle slope on skis. You know, you may need an instructor to show you just how to angle your skis or whatever. But it's basically gravity that's doing the work. Now, in the case of TM, once you know how to do it, you can sit in a chair and close your eyes, think your mantra, and the effortlessness is really astonishing. You know, we all live under this idea of no pain, no gain, and that you have to work very hard to get benefits. But here's a situation where benefits come just from doing it the right way. You don't have to believe in anything. And the benefits keep growing. It's an astonishing phenomenon, but no, you don't have to be an expert. It doesn't take a very long time to learn. Within a week, people can be off and running, so to speak. And that's part of the joy of this process. You're accessing a natural function, the capacity, like, you know, nobody has to teach you how to sleep or teach you how to wake up. These are natural functions. And in a way, accessing this part of the mind is kind of a natural function. It's accessing something we all have access to if we know how to get there.
I was carrying the book around with me this morning, and a couple people said to me, you know, along with the things that you've heard us say already about the fad nature and back in the 70s, but it's this mantra. Do you have to have a mantra? Does someone assign you a mantra? Can you come up with your own mantra? Or if that doesn't appeal to you, can you do something else? But is it about the mantra?
Well, to a large extent, it is about the mantra. You know, you get assigned a mantra, but it's like you order a new piece of equipment, and there it is sitting on your kitchen table, and somebody has to show you how to use it. Do you know what I mean? And so it's a little bit like that with a mantra. It's a clumsy analogy, I know. But somebody has to show you how to use that mantra. But the fact is, the mantra is a key part. It's a vehicle that takes you to this place that we call transcendence. And that's very blissful, and that you access when you meditate. And it's that encroaches upon your daily life and turns out to have all these benefits that are documented in the supermind.
You know, Dr. Rosenthal, we talk about meditation with a lot of different people, and I'm the mantra aspect of it. I was going to actually ask something very similar. So I'm wondering about accessing that inner quiet and using external props or tools. And what I was thinking in terms of were guided meditations or audio meditations. You know, Tom Kenyon does all sorts of auditory aids and stimulants, I guess, to open pathways to meditation is how I would describe that. And you're saying the mantra does exactly the same thing. So,
I wasn't actually saying that it does exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I probably misspoke, but why don't you explain that? Because that's an interesting difference.
Yeah, what you're pointing out is that there are many things that people can do with their minds that can make them better. We know that. You can listen to music. You can have a massage. You can go into a hot tub and float about. There are many things you can do that are going to make your mind feel better and have benefits of one kind or another. What impressed me so about this particular technique is that I don't believe it is exactly the same as the others. There's a lot of physiological brainwave information and other information that suggests that there is something very specific about the technique. And it's this technique that has been shown to do things like lowering blood pressure. Would guided imagery cause me to lower my blood pressure? Who knows? Maybe, maybe not. But the fact is, as a scientist, I love to go where the data is. And as a clinician and person who wants to de-stress my own life, I go where I see the results with my own eyes. And, you know, I've been doing this for 9 years, pretty much twice a day, and I'm not that disciplined a person. If you told me 9 years ago that I would do this twice a day for 9 years, I would ask you what you were smoking. But basically, I have, and I do it joyfully because I know on a daily basis what it does from my health and my not the health, the relaxation, but what I'm seeing in the supermind now is how it grows your creativity, how it grows you as a person. It's got an anti-aging quality. My best books I've written since I started to meditate, it's been like a vehicle for me to exercise my creativity. That's why I sound like I'm born again. And I have to fight that tendency because, you know, the more enthusiastic somebody sounds about something, the more they sound like a religious nut. But I am so excited about it that it's hard for me not to want to share that excitement with other people.
Well, I can relate to that. I have something that I've been doing for 5 years every morning, and if you told me 5 years ago I'd still be doing it, I would have called you crazy, and that's drinking my version of a green smoothie, and it has had similar effects for me that I just, you know, every time I talk about it, I sound like a lunatic. So enough of that, but you're starting to touch on, you know, aspects of I think we need to kind of delve a little deeper into, and that's once you've accessed this area and the space of bliss through, you know, a practice of transcendental meditation, what does happen after that? It's, you know, what follows? That was the part that we talked about in the intro. And you're talking about what has happened for you and the benefits you've seen for various people. So let's go a little deeper on the what follows once you're in that space of bliss.
Right. Well, I, I outline it here in a variety of chapters, connecting body and mind, blood pressure drops. You just feel your body doesn't carry the tension, the muscle pains, despite stresses. You settle down much quicker after any kind of disruption. Building a better brain. There are actual studies that show, for example, even in officer trainees at Norwalk University in Vermont, officer trainees have been taught to meditate. They improve on a whole slew of tests of creativity. They become less depressed. They become more resilient. There are all kinds of brain functions that can be tested and shown to improve. Being in the zone, you know, many of us need to kind of just be in the zone, whether we're on the tennis court or whether we're sports people or whether you're on the radio and you just have to be there with your audience and not thinking about all kinds of other things. That is greatly improved by the TM. And I've done a survey on more than 600 people that elicits these kinds of responses. I haven't just sort of picked this and that, you know, shining example and used them as prototypical. These are statistical responses to survey questions. Internal growth, you know, the growth as a human being. Hugh Jackman, for example, whom I interviewed for this book, talked about how it helped him become authentic. People who are maybe CEOs or leaders of various kinds say it's been one of the most helpful practices because they have to balance all kinds of things. Martin Scorsese, the director, meditates every morning before he goes onto a set, which he describes more or less as a battle zone with everybody coming at you with all kinds of demands as you hit the ground. You know, there's something we call the supportive nature, but it's really means that it feels like everybody's kind of working with you, cooperating with you. The world just seems like a more hospitable place once you start to meditate. And then there's something that I hadn't given much thought to, even as a psychiatrist. You know, we all hear that you should engage with other people, but we don't really learn that you also need to learn how to detach from people when the people are harming you or when a relationship is not good. You need to know how to say goodbye. So all these are important. And then I talk about, you know, the economic benefits. If growing rich is a goal of yours, the meditation will help there. But the biggest thing, of course, is happiness. Happiness grows in people who meditate in a mysterious way, but it's obviously one of the things that we pursue for ourselves more than anything else. We want to be happy.
Dr. Rosenthal, you mentioned that you do it twice a day. How long do people spend in a practice of transcendental meditation?
You know, the basic practice is 20 minutes twice a day. That's all I do. And, you know, sometimes after I've meditated, I just feel, wow, you know, like the afternoon meditation powers me through the whole evening. And the morning meditation gets my day off to a great start. And if I should happen to miss it, I missed it the other morning through some happenstance. And I didn't feel too terrific, but, you know, I got through the morning and my assistant told me at lunch, he said, you know, you've been off all morning today. You haven't been yourself. Mm-hmm. So it has that degree of impact that it's even noticeable when you stop doing it or even miss one.
So what you're saying is you would rather miss coffee than your TM for the morning.
Well, let's put it this way. I would rather have both.
There you go. You know, you brought up Hugh Jackman, and you in your book, you have an interview with him. Why did you include that as a part? I mean, obviously, he has celebrity status, and people like to have that endorsement. But what about Hugh Jackman?
Well, you know, it is true, you know, that celebrities are fun and celebrities sell books, and, you know, any author in his right mind will quote a celebrity when possible. That said, it was a most amazing interview because when he called me, it was so homespun, it sounded like the guy up the road was inviting me to a barbecue. That was the tone of voice. There was no nonsense about him at all. And, you know, I said, can I record this? Because, you know, I can't remember everything people tell me and I want to get it absolutely right. He said, yeah, of course. You know, it was just, it was like a buddy was calling me. That's how it felt. You know, there was none of this, you know, I'm the great star and aren't you lucky I'm talking to you. It was just really homespun. And he spoke about authenticity and what it had meant in his life. I asked him, you know, if it had helped him to deal with fame. He said, absolutely, you know, because he knows what's really important to you. And then he kept quoting Rumi, the poet Rumi. And there's a poem by Rumi that's beyond ideas of rightfulness and wrongfulness, there is a field. I'll meet you there. I don't know if you know the poem. It's very
lovely. I've heard it. Yeah, it's beautiful.
You know, that field where it's not right or wrong. It's not who's right, who's wrong. You know, there's a kind of a sort of feeling at home with the universe. And he says, you know, the only thing that will get you there is, in his experience, meditation. And it was a profound conversation. It was the conversation of a very thoughtful person, given it a lot of thought, who has a deep and rich inner life, who doesn't just look for the fixes that can happen with celebrity. You know, and he said, someday, you know, this will pass, and that's okay, because I have this rich core to my life. That is my meditation and my family, and that is where I really live, even though I will act, I will host the Oscars, I will do whatever I need to do. I love my work, but that's basically, he's a genuine person. And that really was wonderful to hear, that there could be celebrities who are really authentically good people.
Yeah. So does it help Hugh Jackman from turning into the Wolverine when he practices? I know everyone's probably said that to you, but
you're the first one that said it. I think so, you know, because he said that before the meditation, you know, what sort of sustained him was you go to a party, there's a great party, you know, you meet someone, you fall in love, then you fall out of love, but you meet someone else. And so it's, you know, kind of going from one good thing to another to kind of keep propping up your sense of well-being until that gives in and then something else comes up. And so life has got this kind of episodic quality to it. But when you have this everyday infusion of this transcendence, life takes on a very steady quality. And the kind of deep joy and security that you feel is like a continuous flow. And so it's very different from just having a lot of good things and bad things happening, you know, in random fashion.
The book is Supermind, How to Boost Performance and Live a Richer and Happier Life Through Transcendental Meditation. Our guest is Dr. Norman Rosenthal. And I just wanted to say that since we've been speaking with you, I thought, you know, there are all kinds of meditation in this town, in Park City here, but I Googled it and looked it up, and I'm finding that there is somewhere to go for TM in Salt Lake City. But when, I mean, how do you find it throughout the country, this country
well,
anyway?
Well, you know, that's a great question. Firstly, I should tell any listener who's interested that my own website's normanrosenthal.com, but the TM website is tm.org, very simple, tm.org. Mm-hmm. And I certainly need to talk to the folks at the TM organization about the deficiency in Park City.
Okay, that's great. You do that. Well, it's been wonderful speaking with you, Dr. Rosenthal. The book is really nice. And yes, as you say, you know, that you publish your research and you go into many different aspects of transcendental meditation. Thanks for joining us today on The Mountain
Life. Oh, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Wonderful. You too. And it's The Mountain Life. Stay with us. We'll be back after this to talk about mountain madness and the topic that we like to talk about more than any other after transcendental meditation.
Ourselves.
trails.
Wait a minute.
Trails.
And he mentioned something about a new piece of equipment on the kitchen counter?
Yeah.
Bob is going to be thrilled.
Absolutely. Stay with us.
This is Damon Rogers, the new general manager of Park Meadows Country Club, proud sponsor of KPCW. I'm excited about the current clubhouse renovation, where we'll have expanded indoor-outdoor dining, mountain views, a new fitness center, and locker rooms coming this fall. More info at parkmeadowscc.com.
Experience the ride of a lifetime on the Summer Comet bobsled. Cruise down the full length of the Olympic track used during the 2002 Olympic Winter Games. Driven by a professional pilot, participants will experience 15 turns and reach speeds up to 65 miles per hour. It's truly a ride unlike any other. Details at utaholympiclegacy.org.
Utah Olympic Park is a nonprofit organization dedicated to providing winter sport and recreation opportunities and a KPCW supporter.
Hi, I'm Matt from San Francisco Design, longtime supporter of KPCW. We provide a mix of contemporary and mountain modern home furnishings for a unique Park City lifestyle. Our showrooms are in Park City and Salt Lake and offer complete design services. We are on the web at sanfrandesign.com. San Francisco Design, love your home.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. We were just speaking with Dr. Norman Rosenthal, the author of Supermind, How to Boost Performance and Live a Richer and Happier Life Through Transcendental Meditation. And Tim, I suspect you're a better meditator than I am. I'm one of those people who says I'm going to do it. I load the meditation apps on my phone, and then I never use them.
Yeah.
How about you?
I have gone through periods, and I was, you know, probably 6 months ago was when my last phase ended. But for a year or so, I was in a really good state of practice of meditation and kind of feeling like it was, you know, doing nice things for me. But I'm one of those people that, you know, you hear about, how do I quiet my mind? How do I quiet the monkey mind? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I pretty much... I don't have those monkeys going in the mind all the time. So I sort of say, when I'm out on a bike ride or a trail run, I am in a place of bliss and inner peace, because I am. I'm not going through 18 things and the list of things that have to get done. That's kind of nice.
Lucky.
So I kind of start in a good place.
Aww.
I know, right? Isn't that?
Yeah. How'd you get there? Your DNA? Your mom?
I sort of... Charlie has a thought, but it's not correct. There's the Sturgis way.
I'm sure we're going to hear more about that. Well, it's now the last day of May, and that means it's time for Mountain Madness and all things trails. Well, there's an open house tonight. It's at 5:30. At I can't believe we're calling it the Doubletree now. It used to be called the Yarrow on Park Avenue. In the studio are our very own trail gurus, Bob Radke with Basin Rec, Charlie Sturgis with Mountain Trails Foundation, and they're here to give us the lowdown on tonight's event, as well as some additional trail announcements, some super top secret trail news. So,
you know, the first top secret I want to share with you is I have never meditated in my life.
Charlie, I hate to tell you, but there's nothing top secret.
And
I've got
a zoo full of monkeys. So, so anyway,
is that the same for you, Bob?
I have several monkeys running around up there.
Oh, it's all a good endeavor, though. Good thought towards meditation.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I would imagine trail building is quite meditative. And Bob, for you, those early morning, dark mornings in the winter when you're grooming the trails, that has to be pretty meditative.
Yeah, exactly. I think any time, you know, the creative juices can flow, and trail work is certainly that an outlet for me, for my creative things. And you can be in the moment and focus on that. And that's my meditation.
Yeah. You know, speaking of which, you built the trails behind DeJoria Center, did you not? I heard your name.
We are working on those.
Well, now, wait a minute. I rode a section of trail last weekend, and it's phenomenal. I'm trying to find out who to give credit to for that trail
system. High Star Ranch. Project that they are behind 100%.
And they contracted with people, because I'm sure that Mark Fisher and Jean Paul didn't get out there with Pulaskis and shovels and build that trail. So, Bob, who built the trail?
Sagebrush Trails, a company that I'm affiliated with. Yes, we are.
I got to tell
you. My crew has done a great job.
Boy, did I have fun riding the Green Loop. I only rode the Green Loop, and I could have gone higher on the Blue and dropped over. The Green was phenomenal. That is a great trail system. It's going to be a huge hit. Lynn, it's kind of like the WOW Trail, which I went off on earlier. This is another amazing trail amenity that has just come into existence like that. And yes, High Star Ranch needs to be given credit for authorizing
funding,
and sanctioning
funding it
and opening it to the public. That is, you know, kudos to them. It's aligns with the community desire and need. And then people who live in this community who can now build trails like this, it is a whole new ballgame in
That's
the trail
so exciting.
World.
Yeah. And you can stop afterwards at the State Road Tavern.
Yes.
And have some refreshments. Dinner.
You know, it's also worth noting, it's really exciting to see the east side of the county get involved in a big way.
Yep.
And having South Summit Trails out there and Mark Fisher and his group funding such a perfect trail system is really cool.
That's great.
Charlie, remember in the back in the day what we used to ride and the epic sagebrush, you know, hike a bikes and all the things that we thought were such great rides? You know, you'd tell people you'd be back in 4 hours and you'd show up 8 hours later and they were about to call the helicopters and search and rescue to look for you. People would come back tattered and bleeding and think it was, you know, such an epic, fabulous ride. Guess what? We didn't know what we were talking about.
Yeah, we were clueless. Young and dumb. young, dumb, and strong.
Yeah.
So let's pull ourselves back into town for a minute. It's great to talk about High Star, and I can't wait to go out there. And by the way, you're a little hesitant to take credit. And while you may be here as Snyderville Basin Rec, at the end of the day, Bob, you are a trail guru. So whether you're with Sagebrush, Rebellion, or what was it called?
Mm-hmm. rebellious trail people.
Then once a trail builder, always a trail builder and a trail guru. So, one of the announcements you have to make today is something about a directional trail.
Yeah. So, we're using tonight at Mountain Madness, our trails open house, to kind of put it out there. We, through about the last couple years, been looking at the Robbs Trail area, and it's a very popular trail, busy, a lot of hikers and bikers use it. And when Utah Olympic Park approached us with their trail plans to build the trails and to connect, their desires to connect to Mid-Mountain Trail from Utah Olympic Park, it kind of created some options and, you know, what can we do? How can we program trails? So we started contemplating some directional trails in the area and went through an exercise with our board last year. And they are 100% supportive of, you know, creating and maintaining a safe and enjoyable experience for our users. And so with that in mind, they are behind directional trails and designated use trails. So as we move forward with trail development, we're going to look at areas to do that and looking at our existing trails and where can we retrofit or reprogram some of our trails. So the big secret is Rob's Trail. We are going to, with the new trail that connects Ambush Mid-Mountain to Utah Olympic Park, with that option to ride back to the bottom of Rob's, and with Ambush down to Rosebuds to Rob's, you know, we have a couple options so that if we create Rob's to be uphill for mountain bikes only, then they have actually a couple options to get back to the bottom. It will be uphill for mountain bikes only from Rosebuds Heaven up to Ambush. So that bottom leg from Rosebuds down to the trailhead will still be two-directional for mountain bikes and hikers.
So this will be very much like Armstrong Trail. And
yes,
when Armstrong Trail first opened, gosh, how many years ago? Six, seven, eight? I don't know.
Yeah.
It from the get-go, it was what uphill only for mountain bikes, both ways for hikers. Yeah. How do you think that's going to go over, considering that it's a trail that's been in existence for a long time?
Right, so that's the difference. So we're reprogramming it and changing an existing trail. It probably won't go as smooth. I have talked to a lot of people, and everybody is in favor of supportive of it. I've talked to one friend. He's going, oh, bummer. It was my ride. But he's okay with it.
Yeah.
And my wife was one of the biggest users of Robs. She likes to ride up Robs, mid-mountain, and then back down. But talking with her, she's like, oh, but I have options.
Yeah.
It'll work.
Yeah.
And the options are pretty good ones, I think. It's not going to be a big reroute or anything. So,
are those the two only directional trails, Armstrong and this new one? Or, I mean, Rob's that's being repurposed?
Well,
that you guys are aware of? I mean,
UOP.
We do have
We're always being guarded about these subjects.
Well, we do have like this Rodar Slon and Ant Farm and Dropout. There's some directional trails in the area that downhill trails. So this is our first or the second one for uphill mountain bike only, kind of creating a flow.
Yeah, and certainly the trails in Deer Valley that were designed to be the flow downhill trails and things like that. But but Charlie, talk about this direction that I think Mountain Trails Foundation has been hesitant to go into for some time and maybe waiting for it to get to a tipping point. I don't know.
I don't know that we've been hesitant. I think probably at any level, I think for Bob, for ourselves, for the city, for Heinrich and so forth, we all see that there's a huge benefit to directional trails. But you do have to have alternatives that are built. You do have to convince the public that it's a good idea. So, with the UOP connection, it became a beautiful opportunity to provide a directional opportunity in Robs. And you look at Robs as a downhill trail and you go, yeah, it's getting worn and torn. It's got so many people on it going both ways that, this makes a lot of sense to eliminate one type of user, especially that mid-mountain crest rider has been using that trail a lot to come down. Their other option is actually going to be better, and it's still going to get them to the same place in the long run. So we haven't always had that opportunity. So I think that when we look at management strategies, there's a lot of them out there that we think are well worthwhile. But we are working with the Park City Mountain Resort to try to do some more stuff, like we're extending Mojave down, things like that, more one way. So we got them to go one way last year. So I think we're big believers. It takes time, and you really have to present it to the public in a way that people can, get used to it quickly and enjoy it.
Well, that sounds good. I mean, there's just opportunities present themselves. They'll be recognized as opportunities, and they'll be taken advantage of. And as you have these connections that go in that create a myriad of opportunities, then you can implement the directional trail.
Right. Yeah. And it's never that easy. I mean, it's not an easy decision. We've been contemplating this for a couple of years, and how is it going to work? And, and like Charlie said, as new trails get developed, more opportunities are presented. And then and then the decisions are made a little, it's a little easier to incorporate this into our trail system when you have options and something for, some other trails for, something for everybody.
Yeah.
But the decisions are never easy, and they're never just an overnight thing.
Well, you definitely have the immediate support of those who hike those trails because they like the fact that they're on a trail where mountain bikes are coming with them. Going uphill, it's just a whole different experience. And on those particular trails that we're talking about, there are a lot of hikers. There's a lot of pedestrian traffic. And, so right there, you've got their support, and that's just convincing the bikers that they have options that may be even better from a riding standpoint. So I look forward to seeing how this plays out in the future. I think it's going to be really terrific. At the event tonight, I read there are 10 trail groups. Is that, 10 trail groups? And I know, so talk about how this is expanding. We've got the South Summit Trail Foundation. We've got the Wasatch Trails
Alliance.
We've got the Mountain Trails. We've got Basin Recreation. So there's
UOP.
There's four. There's five. And I'm sort of trying to figure out how
Trails Utah.
Yeah, Trails Utah probably will be there. I believe the Corner Canyon folks will be there.
But five really local embedded in our community right here, and a couple of them that have kind of come off the Mountain Trails model with some help from Mountain Trails.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? As we are in our 25th year, I think we do actually provide a good brother template for other organizations. Certainly South Summit and Wasatch Trail Alliance has done really well. And certainly that's with people who are sort of Park City locals anyways. One of the goals tonight will be to actually keep exposing people to all the opportunities. So that's why Corner Canyon's coming. I did a bunch of work with Corner Canyon very, very early on when I started with Mountain Trails. And they've got new stuff coming on. So coming tonight will be one of your great opportunities to see and what people are really talking about, what the plans really look like. I think we don't know exactly. I don't want to put any words in UOP's mouth, but UOP is talking about some directional trails or in their area, and whether they're ready to announce that tonight, I don't know. So I would certainly encourage everyone to show up this evening because it'll be fun. And also, it is casual. It is walk in, walk out. You know, so if you don't want to stay, unlike so many public meetings you show up at, right? At times you feel a little embarrassed to walk out just as someone's saying something important. Those city council meetings, just blow those off. But anyways, I think coming tonight, you'll get a chance to really talk to the people involved and all that. It'd be fun. And we want as many people there as we can get there.
Just a word about, as you're embarking on this directional trail effort, going back to Charlie's, I think it was you who coined the 10 seconds of kindness thing that we all need to practice out there. And I have experienced a lot of righteousness on the trails about who should be doing what. And when someone, for example, is biking up Armstrong and their chain breaks, they pretty much have to coast back down Armstrong. And I had a friend visiting from out of town, and that happened to him. And he said by the time he got down Armstrong, he had been yelled at so many times by hikers. And, you know, it just comes back to, let's not be righteous. Let's realize that we're all users out there, and we can give a gentle reminder. Hey, did you know that just recently this has changed? It's now a directional trail. I get it. You know, whatever it is. But back to the 10 seconds of kindness. We're all here to enjoy the trails in a meditative state. Not.
I think tolerance is a really good word for, even when we talk about enjoying our small town atmosphere, one of the things I think is really important about keeping Park City small is being tolerant of each other and let us kind of do your thing. And so anyhow, that's all. Maybe is off base a little bit here for today.
But it's only because we spent the first half of the hour talking about transcendental meditation.
So that could be your mantra.
That
tolerance.
Could be my exactly. Just say keep saying it over and over.
Yeah.
And eventually I'll end up in my pool of bliss.
So I want to ask you guys, do you have favorite places? You know, Charlie, you've always talked about the favorite places outside of Park City because you were trying to move people away from the core, which was getting congested and busy, and we have great things to explore outside, and that kind of puts some of the traffic away from the busy, congested areas, disbursement. And Bob, I'm sure, you have some favorites too, but we've got the Coyote Loop, the new DeJoria Trails, and I don't know what they're called necessarily, but the new High Star DeJoria Trails,
green and blue.
Yeah, green and blue.
Yeah.
But there must be other, and it used to be years ago, it was out here. It was the Glenwild system, and, those you had to go travel to get to them or ride your bike for an epic ride and, the ridge and all those things. But what sticks out these days? The WOW. The WOW was fairly new and came online and High Star.
Yeah, those are the two big new ones. But, there's, I think, there's a boatload of opportunities in the next 5 years that are going to be super exciting. I mean, you're looking at potentially connecting all the way over to, into the Uintas.
Well, you've always talked about that connection.
Yeah.
Thing, you know, that's connecting still, the pieces.
Yeah, it's still out there. It's just, you know, all these things, you know, all these great simple ideas always have a whole lot of details that fall in behind them. And, you know, landowners, permission, funding, time and effort is at the top priority for the, you know, the season, because we do live in an area where you're only going to be building, you know, probably 20 weeks out of the year, maybe, you know, 24 weeks, maybe max. So, but we live in an area where we have an incredible amount of opportunity still.
Well, and what's been accomplished from 25 miles a single track 25 years ago, which was really kind of nonsense because half of it was service roads. It wasn't even single track.
Most of it was illegal.
And now we call it 400 miles of single track, actual single track, and we still have amazing opportunities with connections. What happens when those connections are made? Do we go from 400 to 800 or we go 400 to 500?
Boy, yeah. I mean, well, let's just keep it. Let's keep it simple. Maybe 400 to 500 for now. 800 is a lot of trail.
Well, but 400. Thinking back 25 years ago, we never would have imagined that possible.
I mean, I was looking at one of our old maps from one of the original maps was 1997 or 1998. Yeah. There's essentially nothing on it.
Mountain Madness sits tonight at the Doubletree, formerly known as the Yarrow, at 5:30. It begins, and is there like the movie's going to start at a certain time?
Yeah, let me maybe do a few plugs. First off, this is once again is with the great help of Veiled Epic Promise. They do a great job. They bring in their staff and really make this thing fly. There will be all sorts of what they call theater food, so hot dogs, popcorn, sodas, you know, that kind of stuff. There will be a bar. Libations are available, and the what you might pay for a beer will be actually going back to Mountain Trail, so that's pretty cool. We'll have a raffle at 6:45. I think, Tim, aren't you doing it, announcing at 7?
I'm doing something.
Yeah, you're doing something. Yep. We'll talk about that about 5 to 7. And then we'll...
I'll read the book.
Yeah, there you go. Read the book, because Lynn's just carrying it around with her. Anyhow, but we will be... the movies tonight are a collection of shorts. So there's almost, I think it's 12 movies total. And they basically are bike-centric in terms of adventure and cultural. So it should be really fun, and it should be pretty quick moving for those of us who can't meditate. It should be good fun.
Sounds like our kind of event. Bob Radke, yep. Charlie Sturgis, we'll hear more about it tonight at Mountain Madness. Thanks for joining us this morning.
You bet, Lynn.
Thank you. See you tonight.
And we'll be right back after these words.
Support of KPCW comes from Zions Bank Concierge-Style Executive Banking Services. Zions Bank. We haven't forgotten who keeps us in business. More information available online at zionsbank.com.
Support for KPCW provided by United Concerts, presenting Dead & Company, featuring John Mayer on Wednesday, June 7th at USANA Amphitheater. Tickets available at all SmithTix outlets and smithtix.com. Dead & Company, June 7th at USANA Amphitheater.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by AMA Waterways and Park City Air, Cruise, and Travel, 565-4730, parkcityaircruiseandtravel.com. Long, Reimer, Weiniger, Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, lrw-law.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
You're listening to KPCW Park City. Charlie, Bob, thanks for joining us. And I want to thank our guest today, Dr. Norman Rosenthal. He is the author of the book Supermind, How to Boost Performance and Live a Richer and Happier Life Through Transcendental Meditation. And, of course, our trails gurus, Charlie Sturgis with the Mountain Trails Foundation, Bob Radke with Snyderville Basin Rec. I'd like to thank our underwriters.
They are Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties, San Francisco Design, Park Meadows Country Club, Park City Mountain, Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation, Davidson Orthopedics, and Zions Bank.
And you've been listening to KPCW Park City. It's time to head into National Public Radio News from Washington.